Mark Tegubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in that blessed and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Because, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who can satisfy the hunger and the thirst of the human spirit. And how wonderful it is to taste and see that the Lord is good. We're picking up in our study today of new birth blessings in the book of Luke, where we left off in our last broadcast, in Luke chapter 11 and verse 13. Jesus was speaking, If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And, beloved, this was before the days when the Holy Spirit was given in Pentecost, after the Lord Jesus had ascended back into heaven. And so today, that's exactly what the Lord does. He gives the Holy Spirit to every individual who puts their faith and trust in Jesus, who acknowledges they're a sinner, who invites the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their life and forgive them for their sin. The Holy Spirit of God is the one who does that work of salvation. As John 3:3 states, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's John 3:6, I believe, instead of 3:3. John 3:6. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit to bring salvation and eternal life into the heart of an individual. And so, beloved, the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to every individual who puts their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, the believer is told not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but to be filled with the Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, beloved. Oh, beloved, how it makes our lives more fruitful, more available to the living God, more usable to the honor, glory, and praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it will have an impact upon our life, even as alcohol has an impact on the individual who becomes drunk with alcohol. It affects his behavior. It affects his actions. It affects his speech. It affects his attitude. It affects everything about that individual. And so the filling of the Holy Spirit, as he fills our life as a child of God, will have an impact upon our behavior and upon our actions. Now, quickly, as we're talking about the much more abundant blessings that come through the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit, notice verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 5, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's going to affect your inner life. It's going to affect the outlook that you have on things. It's going to affect your speech, beloved, and it will bring about joy in your life. And you will want to communicate things that glorify the Lord. Many times when I'm discouraged or when I'm going through a time of despondency, I start singing a scripture verse of the Word of God, and it lifts my spirit. It strengthens me, or an old hymn that ministers to me and lifts my spirit. To God be the glory. great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son. Oh, and what a blessing it is to review and think about what God the Father in his great love has done for us in sending the Lord Jesus Christ, and the manifestation of God's love. Oh, beloved, every day I see God's love manifested and shown forth to this old man that's speaking to you. I'm not old, but this old house I live in is old. And we have to remember the old house is not us. I'm young in the Lord, beloved, and I have eternal life, and I'm never going to die. This old earth suit I wear is going to die, but He's got great plans. And that is to give us a new glorified body that doesn't have any of the deficiencies and the problems and the sin that this body has. And so, beloved, it will affect our speech and it will affect our attitude. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. That's verse 20. It will affect our attitude so that in everything we can give thanks, as we're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, to in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. To give thanks for every circumstance and every situation, knowing that the situation may not be good to us, but that God is teaching us something through that problem, through that difficulty, through that trial, through that hardship. And he's able to use it for his glory and for our good. And so we can say, "Thank you, Lord." And you know it's called the therapy of thanksgiving. It lifts our spirit to know God's at work in this situation, and he's able to use it for our good and for his glory. And so he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there we see God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And this has to do with our learning to be submissive to what other people say, to what other people are doing, and to suggestions that they have to take them into consideration. Now, if it's something that's evil, if it's something that's wrong, if it's something contrary to the Word of God, immediately we know that, no, I cannot accept that. And it gives us an opportunity, if that person's an unbeliever, to share Jesus with them. If they are a believer, to remind them of what the Word of God says. No, I'm God's property. My life is to bring glory to His name. And this would not bring glory and honor and praise to Jesus Christ. And so I cannot be involved in it or have a part in it. And then he begins to talk about our marriage. We that are married, how that the Spirit-filled life will have an impact upon our marriage and will affect our marriage and our relationship. Notice, our relationships are going to be impacted by the Spirit-filled life and the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Wives, Spirit-filled wife, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. It's an act of submission to the Lord when you're obedient to the Word of God and submitting to your husband. For the husband is the head of the wife. Now, why is the husband the head of the wife? Because that's where God placed him. Because that's the responsibility that God placed upon the husband. It doesn't mean the husband is superior to the wife. The wife is on equal terms with God. And he will hear your prayers just as much as he'll hear the husband's prayers, wife. He's not any respecter of persons, we're told over and over and over again. And so in the sight of God, you're just as important as the husband is. But God has given him that position and placed him in that position to be the leader and to be the head in the home, even as the physical head oversees and gives guidance and gives direction to the physical body. And so it's a grave responsibility that's given to the husband, because I'm going to have to give an account to the Lord as to the kind of husband I was to my wife. And you, wives, will have to give an account to the Lord whether you were the kind of wives that God's Word tells you to be, or whether you rebelled against your husband, fought against your husband, would not listen to his leadership, would not follow his leadership if he's seeking to lead you according to the Word of God. Now, if he's not leading you according to the Word of God, then you can simply tell him that that's not pleasing to the Lord, and I am going to have to give an account of myself before the Lord, and I do not have to want to give a bad account because of my not obeying the Word of God. Remember, our relationship with the Lord is number one. It's the priority relationship in each one of our lives. Jesus and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit have to come first in our lives. Now, it's not before our husband. It's not putting a ministry ahead of our family. And sad to say, that's what we that are in the ministry sometimes fall into that snare. And we mess up and misunderstand that the work is not our relationship to the Lord. Our personal relationship to the Lord is separate from the work. The work is simply a result of our walk with the Lord and our obedience to the Lord. But God has placed our wife as the number one figure in the life of a man of God. She is to be number one in his life, and then comes the children, and then comes the ministry, as we're going to see here in this outline that God gives us through the Apostle Paul. So, wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Christ is. Until next time, goodbye.